Good afternoon. I welcome you with all my heart. It is good being with you again. I love you just the way you are. Love is the self, and the self is love. When I exclaim that I love you, I love the self, which is all-pervading. Therefore, how can I not love you? For the self is all there is. There was once a Zen Buddhist monk who used to bother his teacher every day with questions like, what is the ultimate truth? When am I going to become enlightened? What practice should I use? When I become enlightened, will I still be a monk? Will I want to see my family? One day the teacher told the monk, I'm going to send you to a great sage. She will show you the ultimate reality. The teacher drew a map of where the sage lives. It took the monk 6 months to get there. He had to swim across a mighty river where he nearly drowned. He had to cross a bridge 1,000 miles up in the air. Pretty far up. He had to climb a mountain 10,000 miles high. He had to walk through the desert.
How big was the desert?
Pretty big. Finally, he got to our house. He knocked on the door. And as the disheveled old lady came to the door, she smelled like she hadn't taken a bath in 10 years. She was totally ignorant. She was deaf in one ear and couldn't hear out of the other. She couldn't see too well. She couldn't talk too well. He was about to turn away when she grabbed him by the arm and pulled him in. And gave him a broom and told him to mop and broom, sweep the place, clean up the house. He did this. Then she had him wash the windows and paint the house and plow the fields and milk the cow. 3 months passed, and he was wondering what he was doing. But he kept on doing it because he was looking for some wisdom from this old lady. If his teacher told him that she would give him ultimate truth, he believed the teacher. One day she pulled him into the house and sat him in the corner. He didn't do any more work from that day on. He just sat in the corner, watching the old lady go through her routine of washing the dishes, sweeping the house. Another 2 months passed by. He was really pondering all of this. What is all this about? Who is this lady? What is the ultimate truth? Until he got to the stage where he didn't care or give a damn about it. He just sat in total silence and went deeper and deeper within himself. Finally, something clicked within him. He became self-realized. And he started laughing hysterically. He picked the little lady up and kissed her and left the house, never returned again. And no one's heard of him since. What was the ultimate truth he found? He realized that there is no ultimate truth. There never was an ultimate truth. There is no realization. There is no ignorance. There is no universe. There is no world. There is nothing. Everything just is. This was his discovery. Everything is. Not this or that or something else. Everything just is. Just the way it is. Just the way it is. You do not have to do anything about anything. You do not have to change anything or fix anything or improve anything. Everything just is. If you can only understand this great truth, you would become the happiest being on earth. For when you realize everything just is, you are living spontaneously. There's no past, there's no future. There's no birth, there's no death. Everything just is the way it is. Look at your life. How many things you try to change or fix or remedy. Things that you're looking for. Trying to become something. Trying to be somebody. Trying to achieve a purpose. When you do all of these things, then you're not living up to the principle that everything just is. If everything just is, what is there for you to do? You didn't come to this earth to do anything. You didn't even come to this earth. But you appear as if you did. You appear real. You appear as if you were somebody. And you've been trained to go after something in this world, to become something great, to be somebody. Yet this is what causes suffering. The belief that you have to be somebody that you're not. The belief that you have to have something that you don't have. Look at your life. The so-called problems you believe you have. Something only becomes a problem when you want to change something. When you want something to go your way, then it's a problem because it isn't going the way that you think it should go. But in truth, nothing has to go anywhere. Everything is perfect just the way it is. Everything is total perfection. You say, sure, Robert, look at man's humanity to man. Look at the wars and the dastardly conditions going on in this world. You're watching the movement of time, which really does not even exist. when you watch the movement of time, things are happening in the movement of time. Things appear to be happening. But if you are spontaneous and leave everything alone and realize everything just is, you would be in between the movements of time and space. You would be able to see through the mirage, through the so-called magic of life and happenings. And you would be able to see the stillness, the oneness, the peace. But you see the situations as they appear. You look at person, place, and thing, and believe that's the way it is. Movement, time, space. These things are not for you. You who are ultimate reality. You who are pure, effortless awareness. You are Satchitananda. The world is not for you. The world is for the dreamer. The one who is dreaming the mortal dream. Who takes everything seriously. Who feels the world as if it's real. For they believe that things are going the wrong way according to their thinking. So the first step to rectify all this is to quiet the mind. To make the mind quiescent. Still the mind. You still the mind by not reacting. By watching, by looking, by seeing. By not reacting. You sit in the silence, observing your mind thinking, observing your thoughts, observing your feelings, and you leave them alone. You no longer try to change anything. You stop following your thought patterns. As we discussed before, you drop it. Whatever comes to you, you simply drop it. You no longer go along with your thoughts. You catch yourself every time the thoughts start thinking. You keep remembering to catch yourself. To catch yourself thinking. Little by little, the thoughts begin to vanish. They stop. There are no longer any thoughts. There's no longer a thinker. You are no longer a body. If you are no longer a body, there are no other bodies. You feel happiness. Infinite happiness. You feel joy, love. These feelings are all synonymous. It's really one feeling that includes a great compassion, love, joy, happiness, peace. Only you can bring this upon yourself. This is what the Zen Buddhist monk discovered. All of these years, he was looking toward his teacher to become self-realized. But the old lady he encountered was totally opposite of any teacher he'd ever seen. And this woke him up. You have within you everything it takes to become liberated. All you have to do is to give up what is not reality. And what is not reality is everything the senses tell you is reality. Everything you taste, touch, hear, feel, and smell is non-reality. Yet these things cause you to react to this world. You don't want to react any longer. You want to drop everything. There is nothing in this world that's worth going after, chasing. Many times when I talk this way, people think, I don't want to become a nun or a monk. I want to live in the world. The thing that Robert tells us is for a person who becomes a hermit, or a person who lives in a forest or a cave. What about me living in this world? On the contrary, everything I say to you, everything I share with you, is living in this world. If you practice the things I share with you, it makes no difference where you are, whether you are in the city, in the marketplace, or on the mountaintop. It doesn't make any difference. Everything is to be done mentally. When I speak of giving up things, not reacting, this is mentally. I'm not telling you to quit your job or to leave your family or to go far away somewhere. Stay exactly where you are. Be yourself. There's nowhere to go. Remember, if you must find yourself first, wherever you run away to, you have to bring yourself with you. And if you have problems now, you'll have more problems wherever you go. Therefore, you do not leave town. Join a monastery. Or run to India, or go to the woods. You have to take yourself with you wherever you go. The wise thing to do is to confront yourself. Just where you are right now. Confront yourself totally. See yourself where you are. Watch how you react to things. Watch your thoughts. From the moment you wake up in the morning, begin to ponder yourself. Try to observe the eye rising. The eye rises as soon as you wake up in the morning. Then you become cognizant of your body and the world and others. And by pondering, from where has the eye risen? Just by pondering this, where did the eye come from? From where has it risen? This will take it back. By pondering this, the eye will begin to return to its source, which is the self. And you will awaken. But if you just go along with the eye waking up, then you forget about this and you get involved in the day's work. You become involved in the day's activities. You start to think about lunch, breakfast, what you're going to wear, whom you're going to meet. Everything becomes external. But if you catch the eye and you follow the eye back to the source, you will be quite a different person. You will still get out of bed. go to your work, do the job you're doing, yet you will not be the same person. You have found peace, total peace, and it will not matter what kind of work you do, what kind of work you don't do. Things like hating your job will disappear. You will not think about it one way or another. You will just do whatever you have to do. And this will all happen spontaneously. Never believe that you are a human being. Never believe you live in a world which turns around its axis and turns around the sun. This is not really you. There are no mistakes. No mistakes have ever been made, and no mistakes are being made. It is your inner feelings, your inner emotions, that feel all of these things in this world. Learn to leave the world alone. Learn to leave yourself alone.
Thank you.
And this is that time again to play Stump the Guru. So is Fred with your pastor.
There's nothing in there, Robert. I don't think. There's one.
Robert, what is the sound current stream? The sound current stream is coming out of your mind. It is your mind. Why do you want to hear a sound current stream? You want to transcend everything. Not concern yourself about a sound current stream. There are various yogas where you see certain visions, you hear sounds, you hear currents, you feel different feelings. Always remember this emanates out of your mind. When you touch reality, there is nothing. There are no currents, no sounds. No visions. You have transcended this. So don't look for sound current streams. Go beyond that. Become empty. And you will be free.
That's it, Robert.
One question.
Hey, I've got another one.
Robert, I understood that sound is the original form of everything.
Well, form does not exist. Form is an illusion. Form is Maya.
But is it true that Maya originally is in the form of sound?
Maya originally is nothing. Do not give Maya names. We can go all the way back to all kinds of currents and teachings and sounds and figures that you see in your mind, geometrical designs. All these things come to one who meditates. But we want to go beyond that, where there is no creation. Whatever you think somebody had originated, it had to come from somewhere. Where did the sound current come from? Where did all these things you're talking about come from? The mind. Where else? We create our own world. We create our own conditions, our own situations. We create these things. Drop it. Fred writes in green. Can one get rid of what one considers an undesirable identity, such as I am the body, by holding on to or accentuating the opposite or opposing identity? Sign liverwurst. The answer is liverwurst. That's the answer. You do not wish to hold on to anything, to hold on to the opposite identity. Whatever you hold on to is the mind again. You're holding on to your mind when you hold on to the opposite. There is no opposite. It's like saying, let's get rid of the devil and think of God. there never was a devil to get rid of, and there's no God to get rid of. There are no opposites. There is nothing but the self. There is only the absolute reality, and even that doesn't exist. Do not make the teaching complicated. You want to realize that the teaching brings you to nothingness, where there is no body, no world, no God, where you no longer have a crutch to which to hold on to. You become completely, totally empty. Then you are the self. So live and worship is good. That's the answer. Would anyone like to say something?
Robert, I was reading.
You've been reading again.
To the merits.
Yes. I was reading the Buddha Gita last night, and my understanding from that is that this nothingness is not a mere nothingness. That, I mean, when I say nothingness, that has kind of like, it's like the Buddhist void, which is kind of a negative.
Mm. When we talk about nothingness, we're negating all things of this universe. It all exists as mind. When the mind is totally destroyed, then you rest in nothingness, which is really something, as you say. But it is something ineffable, something that can be experienced, and something you become. It is total being. It is beyond the void. Beyond anything you can ever explain or talk about or become. You have to experience this for yourself. But when we speak about nothingness, we're referring to the negation of everything in this world and the universe. When everything is negated and everything is gone, what is left over is the reality. Make it happen to you and see for yourself. Then you will see what you are. And good for nothing.
That's the same as good for everything.
Sure.
Clean and void.
Yes.
I've noticed in Buddhist scripture that seems to parallel what you've been saying. I know how you all feel about scripture. 5 oneself, the evil is done. 5 oneself, one suffers. 5 oneself, the evil is left undone. 5 oneself, one is purified. Pure and the impure stand and fall by themselves. No one can purify another.
That sounds good, friend.
I'll take it back.
No, it sounds good.
Dhammapada, right?
Huh?
Dhammapada?
I don't know. I just saw it somewhere. It's pretty accurate, isn't it?
It's very accurate, but where do you come in? Have you experienced that for yourself?
No.
So what good is it? Only when you can experience for yourself, then there'll be nothing to say. That's a nice poem.
Robert, language is so absolutely imperfect to even point to this, because you say even if we experience it for ourselves, but experiences of duality, subject and object, so it's not there. And the self I'm going to experience it. That's not it either. So the language, this language is absolutely not capable of even pointing to it.
Any language is not capable of pointing to it. It goes beyond language.
So it's like the language of silence is the only, not a language.
Even when you think of silence, it's not the silence you're thinking about. Yes. It's beyond that kind of silence. It's a silence so profound that one cannot even begin to understand it. He's experiencing it.
He's in the silence.
It's in the silence, right?
Can there not be can there not be an absence of objects but still functioning of hearing and seeing and feeling and smelling as objects?
As in an absence of objects, who is there left to smell or feel or touch or taste?
You didn't say anybody if there was any who. You said, can there not be seeing and hearing? You have to have a who for hearing?
Yes. Somebody has to hear. There has to be somebody to hear it, to think about hearing. The thinker is still there when you hear. But you get to the point where there's absolutely nothing to hear. There's no one to hear and there's nothing to hear. Then you're in a completely different ballpark. You're totally away from this kind of hearing or this kind of seeing. You go way beyond that. To a place where you can't even imagine.
So you're saying there can not be a state of no objects while there's still hearing and seeing going on?
Yes. As long as there's hearing and seeing, there has to be a seer who does all this. There has to be a mind. When there's absolutely no mind, you're on a completely different dimension. Where there is no hearing or seeing, but yet you function. You see and you hear, but there's no one seeing or hearing.
So you're saying there is seeing
and hearing. There is seeing and hearing, but there's no one left to see or hear.
Well, now you're saying there is seeing or hearing with an absence of object.
But there's no one to see or hear, and there's no absence of objects. It's a paradox. There appears to be a seer and a hearer, and there's an absence of objects. And then again, there's no absence of objects, and nobody sees or hears.
Is that clear yet?
Thank you.
Sort of a merry-go-round.
It's worse than a merry-go-round. It's a roller coaster.
Let's get off.
The whole carnival.
Yeah. The hell with it.
Yeah, it's so simple. We just have to let go of all these things. Let go of all the intellectualism, the analyzations, the memories, the stuff we've been brought up to know. If we can only give everything up, we'll be so happy. We'll be very, very happy beings. Yet most of us are afraid to give up our lives. For we've had this kind of a life since we were born, so to speak. And we're afraid to give it up because we're afraid of the unknown. in a safety, there's absolutely nothing to be afraid of.
Just on time.
Sorry, Robert.
For the next jam.
Well, I don't want to miss anything.
All is well.
It's the death of the ego that's such a horrifying thing, isn't it, Mama?
The death of the ego. Always remember there's no ego that really dies. Because the ego has never really existed.
So what is it that feels the terror?
Whatever you imagine it is.
So that's the ego,
you imagine. That's what you think it is. So we talk about an ego and getting rid of the ego. But in truth, there's no ego to get rid of. And there's no terror. Where does this terror come from? The ego? The ego doesn't exist. There's no terror.
And yet people crack up and end in the mental hospital.
Of course. This is part of Maya. It's all necessary.
And they suffer.
For the grand illusion. Look at all the things that go on in this world. People crack up, as you say. People don't crack up. People are millionaires. People starve to death from want of food. This is duality. This is Maya. This is the way of the world. Go beyond that. Go beyond these questions and these things you're thinking about. To that place where there is perfect peace and nothing is happening. It is within you.
Robert, what happens during deep sleep? When your body shuts down, and then
Karima can answer that. She's there.
I'll look.
The body does not shut down when you're in deep sleep, or you'd be dead physically.
Right.
The mind shuts down. The mind doesn't really shut down either, because it takes care of the body's functioning. You are in deep sleep. You are in a state of realization when you are in deep sleep. But a realization without physical world, without the physical universe. When you are in deep sleep, nothing happens. Nothing is going on as far as you're concerned. The eye that knows the world, the eye that sees the world, the eye that is the world, has gone back into the heart. And there's no one experiencing anything. So as far as you're concerned, you are in deep sleep. There's no universe, there's no world, and there's no body. But to the person who observes you in deep sleep, they see the body and they see you breathing and they see the things going on in your respiration. Yet you do not feel these things. Realization is when you are in sort of a deep sleep, yet you are cognizant of the self in deep sleep.
Something awakens within the deep sleep.
You are asleep while awake. But deep sleep is a very good example of letting go of the whole universe It's like death. It's a sample of what happens when you die. When you appear to die, you are in a state of deep sleep. But you don't come back into this world as the same person. You experience other planes, which is your mind creating these planes, the subtle planes, the causal planes, the mental planes. All these things come out of your mind.
But that's no longer deep sleep then.
No. You awaken to those planes of existence.
You imagine.
Yes. To roll out of the mind. The mind's created this whole ball game. So deep sleep is a sample of that.
Now the fear comes up about death, but we're not afraid to have deep sleep. In fact, we need deep sleep. But we have all these fears about death. Is it that the body just has more programming about dying than it does about
death? Deep sleep gives you a sample of what's happening when you die. It relieves you of all the pressures of the world. If you didn't have deep sleep, you would not be able to function. For the world appears very strong in its illusory force. But when you sleep, you let go of the world for a period of time, and then you can go back into the world later on when you wake up and continue. So deep sleep is a sample of dying. That's how it's going to be when you let go completely of this body and you go forward into the infinite.
So you're saying that the body can be dead and yet the mind still exists?
The mind always exists.
Except there is no mind.
There is no mind, of course.
What about the subconscious, Robert?
The subconscious is the mind. The subconscious mind, or the conscious mind, or the unconscious mind, they're all aspects of the same mind. There's only one mind that appears to be real. And this mind that causes all the trouble. This mind causes your subconscious experiences, your subjective experiences, your conscious experiences. They all come from this mind. This is the reason we are told to destroy the mind. Then everything stops.
Your subconscious is
what
whatever comes into your subconscious is what guides you, because that's your destiny.
The subconscious is the part of you that you're not aware of consciously. Mm-hmm. The thing that you picked up inadvertently, deep fears, deep frustrations, and in your subconscious.
But maybe I didn't remember correctly, but I thought you lift that up to predestiny. Your subconscious is what, where all your, if you're predestined to do something, then it's...
These samskaras. Okay. You're talking about samskaras from previous lives. All of these things are in your subconscious. You can call it your subconscious mind. And it stays with you until you are highly annihilated, until it's totally destroyed. It comes with you life after life after life, when you experience your paroptic karma that you work out. The things that are happening to you are karmic from the past life, from the previous life, from many lives before, until you give the whole thing up and become totally free. So deep sleep, karma, different states of consciousness, those things are all synonymous. We go beyond all these things.
Robert, in Ramana's books, he says that even in deep sleep, that awareness, the reality is still awake. Because reality can't go unconscious, so that the aspect of being that's reality is always awake.
In deep sleep, the I exists.
Yeah, but it's not associated with the mind and brain. So it's like we're unconscious of it.
You're unconscious of the physical world.
Yeah.
But the I exists.
Yeah. The consciousness exists in deep sleep and it's wide awake.
The I.
Yeah.
The I exists when you're dreaming, it exists when you're sleeping, it exists when you're awake. So what is this I?
What is it? Why is it that it's not awake as we seem to be awake now? Or maybe it is awake.
What?
When we're in deep sleep.
What's awake?
The I am is awake.
The I am always exists. Consciousness always exists.
Maybe while we're in deep sleep, we are wide awake. But when we wake up, we forget that that we were wide awake in a different quality. You know what I mean? You know what I mean?
When you are in deep sleep, you are dead to this world.
Yeah, and dead to the mind, too. And dead to the ego.
The mind still exists. The mind exists while you're sleeping.
But there's no content.
There's no content. Empty mind.
Robert, what happens when you have an out-of-the-body experience?
When you have an out-of-the-body experience, your astral body appears to come out of it. And it floats around someplace. What's that?
And you're looking down at yourself.
You're looking down at an illusion, and the illusion is also the out-of-body experience.
But how does that physically happen?
Your so-called soul, you think you've got a soul, there is no soul. Except the bottom of my shoe.
No, that's the heel.
The heel and the soul.
Calling the names.
You appear to have an out-of-body experience when your soul, so to speak, leaves your body. And that's a different plane. It's an astral plane trip.
The astral consciousness is up there looking down at your physical body?
Not consciousness, the astral body. We have an astral body, we have a causal body, so to speak. We have a physical body, we have a mental body. These bodies all seem to be in one. They're all inside together. We have an out-of-body experience. The astral body leaves the body and appears. And is able to run around and have some fun and do whatever it likes to do. While the body is sleeping.
Well, this is when you're awake.
When you're awake, you have another body experience?
Yeah.
The same thing. Makes no difference. They're all false.
Robert, what's the difference when teachers talk about not having these experiences in an astral body or causal mental body, but having these experiences in a soul body?
In a solar body?
In a soul body.
A solo body?
Soul body. Soul.
Or a soul body. What about that?
I've heard that there's a big difference because these are very conditional bodies, but the soul body is a spirit body that can have these experiences and move through these various realms and levels and everything.
As long as there's a body, it's false. All the bodies that exist, soul body, heel body, anybody. There are no bodies. Bodies come out of the mind is the emanation of the universe, and everything that exists. When the mind is destroyed, there are no longer any bodies.
There seems to be a bit of a different point of view in your teaching. I'm trying to tally this with some others, because the other teachers say that to account for all of manifestation, there's a positive, which is like the spirit, and there is all the various planes of manifestation, from the subtlest to the grossest, and that's the negative aspect, like a battery, negative and positive, not being negative being bad, but just two aspects of one battery, which accounts for all of manifestation. And other teachers say that that's these planes of existence, all this manifestation, is not a bad thing. It's not, karma is not a bad thing. It's more of a creative type of manifestation. And what I'm hearing when you say that it doesn't exist, that there's no accounting for it. That's what. Whereas other teachers and other philosophies on this do account for it and say that it's every, you know, like the Zen masters would say that it's blasphemy, heresy to say that the absolute is just, just nothingness, and then exclude all of manifestation, that they both are together, they're both the same thing. Samsara is nirvana. Nirvana is samsara.
This is a Zen teaching, this is a Buddhist teaching, I understand what you're saying. But the question is, where does it all come from? Where does samsara come from? Where does the soul come from? Where does everything come from? The soul comes out of the mind. And where does the mind come from? The mind doesn't exist. So if the mind does not exist, there's absolutely nothing else that exists in this universe, anywhere else. There's total emptiness, total freedom, total liberation, which is beyond anything you can ever think about.
Is that the same as saying that if you're the Zen teacher say that emptiness is form and form is emptiness?
At that level, you can say that, yes. You can say emptiness is form and form is emptiness. But what good is it? Why do you want to say that?
Still shoveling Maya.
Back and forth.
From one system to another system.
True.
The Maya comes in, the Maya comes out.
Good enough.
True. As long as there's something going on, the mind is active. The whole idea is to go beyond all these teachings. Go beyond everything. And there's not a void. You go beyond the void. There is something, as I say, which is very ineffable, something that cannot be spoken of, something beyond anything you can ever imagine, feel, or be.
That's the plenum. When they say plenum void, they lead these two together. The Buddhists call the plenum void, which
yes.
You refer to as ultimate reality.
Yes.
Same thing.
Still Maya.
Still words.
You are beyond that.
You're beyond the beyond.
Beyond the beyond the beyond.
And this goes on redundantly forever.
Until it stops.
When the mind stops.
When the mind stops.
Robert, regarding the mind stopping, you frequently suggest that self-inquiry is somehow a useful thing. And less frequently, but sometimes you talk about living in the moment.
Mm.
And living in the moment, self-inquiry seems to sort of imply somehow dropping the senses or moving beyond the senses, moving beyond the sensory experience. Living in the moment doesn't directly seem to imply that. You're both, so to speak, heading in the same direction.
Yes, they both go in the same direction. Those are methods to go beyond the mind. Methods to destroy the mind and go beyond everything there is. To become totally free and totally liberated. You use whatever method is suitable for you at the time. Whatever you have to do, you do to become totally free.
Robert, seems like we're in the worst of both worlds here because the great majority of the population out here is not concerned about any of this. They're going about their business, having a good time. And then there are people such as yourself who are there, enlightened, and here we are in this limbo. And it seems to be the most frustrating place to be. I mean, what is it that we can do, you know, to avoid a, you know, suicidal despair in the meantime, you know, frustration.
You can stop thinking the way you're thinking.
I'd like to.
So simply observe your mind, observe your thoughts, and observe what you said. Watch your thoughts, watch what you're saying. Drop it, get rid of it. Do not carry it with you. Do not allow your mind to make all these long statements. Catch yourself when you start thinking like that and drop it. Or inquire, to whom does it come? And follow it through. Do whatever you have to do to stop the mind from thinking that way. And it will happen. You have to go within again and again and again. Until the day comes when you don't have to go within anymore. The deeper you go within, the faster you get rid of all this stuff.
Whatever arises in the mind, the only thing to do with it is to throw it away. It's all garbage.
Yes. Throw yourself away with while you're doing that too.
Good idea.
Can we recycle it?
That's catalyst. Very conservative.
Don't worry about it.
Do whatever you want with it. But get rid of it.
You can package it.
Who wants it?
You hate it?
Again, make your life very simple. Keep your thoughts very simple. Do not become too abstract in your life. Leave everything alone. Live in the moment. Do not try to analyze things or to try to figure them out. Look out for solutions. There are no solutions. There's no hope. Forget everything you've ever learned. Become like a newborn babe. Remember the practice of divine ignorance. And be yourself.
What is the practice of divine ignorance?
When you realize you do not know what anything really is. When you begin to see that everything is because you are. The things that exist, you have no idea what they really are. You take a tree, for instance. What is a tree? Nobody really knows. We give it the name of a tree, we say, this is a tree. But we have no idea where it came from, why it's here. We know we chop it down, we use it as wood, we make furniture. We have no idea where it came from. We could have called the tree a dog or a bird, but we call it a tree. So we take it for granted. Divine ignorance, therefore, is when you realize that you know absolutely nothing about nothing.
We call it a practice. How do you practice to achieve that?
You simply look at everything and you develop a great humility by realizing that everything is something that you know nothing of. You get rid of the wise guy attitude, that you know about this, and you know about that, and you know everything. Whereas in truth, you don't know about anything. You just have memories. In self-inquiry, you can negate all these things. You don't really have to do that as far as these things are concerned. Just realize that everything in this world has been given a name by you when you were born. You were told to call a cat, a dog, and so forth. But in reality, you have no idea what a cat or a dog is. You just appear on this earth with your body. This makes you very humble. It causes a lot of humility to come into your consciousness. When this happens, then you're able to go further. Remember, it's really impossible to go any further on the path unless you develop a great humility. If you think you know too much and you know things, this keeps you back. All human knowledge keeps you back from experiencing your true self. Therefore, when you develop a great humility, you can go back further and further until you touch that place of truth, which is really you.
Can you say then the practice of divine ignorance is resting in that disposition of I don't know what anything is, instead of resting in the disposition of familiarity? Like, I is mind and my memory, I'm familiar with everything, oh, I know what this is. But divine ignorance is resting in the disposition of knowing absolutely nothing about myself or anything, or having no craving, no wanting, just, I don't know anything, and it's not knowable, that disposition.
What a dumb guy.
Oh, really, it's resting in that disposition from moment to moment.
True, you can say that, yes.
That's
or you can get a job working with Jerry Brown, where you know that nobody has the slightest idea what's going on at any point in time, from Jerry on down.
It'll definitely become the
present. It's practice.
Yes, you can say that. You already said
that. That seems to be the most wonderful essence of the whole teaching.
That's the beginning.
The beginning of the ending of me.
Yes. Mm. Me, me, me. Karima, would you like to sing a song?
Go ahead.
Oh, I didn't come prepared.
That's okay.
This will be a lesson.
Yeah, right. It's spontaneous creativity. Okay, I'll sing an old one.
For a Jnani who has realized the identity of his being with the infinite Brahman, there is no rebirth, no migration, not even liberation, for he is already liberated. He has firmly established in an experience of the absolute existence, knowledge, bliss, the Satchitananda Atman. The continued existence of the world and of his own body appears to the Jnani only as an illusion, the appearance of which he cannot remove, but which cannot further deceive him till the time when, after the decease of the body, he wanders not forth, but remains where he is and what he is, and eternally was, the first principle of all beings and things, the original, eternal, pure, free Brahman. While living, and even when the body falls dead, the Jnani rests in his own essential nature, his own Svarupa that is all full, all pure, timeless, consciousness, and bliss. The following assertions made by a Jnani constitute his own deepest convictions and experience. I am infinite, imperishable, self-luminous, self-existent. I am beginningless, endless, decayless, birthless, deathless. Never was I born. I am ever free, perfect, independent. I alone am. I pervade the entire universe. I am all permeating and interpenetrating. I am supreme peace and freedom absolute. A jnani lives forever. He has attained life everlasting. Cravings torture him not. Sins stain him not. Birth and death touch him not. He is free from all cravings and longings. He ever rests in his own Satchitananda Svarupa. He sees the one infinite self in all, and all in the infinite self, which is his being. He remains forever as the infinite self of consciousness and delight.
Thank you.
Thank you, Robert.
We have any announcements?
No, Robert. Transcripts are coming in, which we're thankful for.
Remember to love yourself, to pray to yourself, to worship yourself, to bow to yourself, for God lives in you as you. You are that.